Welcome to The Watchman, 1 hour of great teaching on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening. Welcome to The Watchman. This evening, as we continue, of course, with our study on a few things that are happening in the world right now and some things that are on my heart and have been on my heart throughout this week. But thank God today we have a fresh message for the week. Now, I just want to highlight a few things here that have been happening and interesting things, really. And I'll start with a dream that somebody whom I know had, which was a very important and timely dream. And now this person who is a lady told me that she had a dream when people were outside seated on the, like, as if on the ground and watching big screens, television, and watching screens of what was happening around the world. And, like, not at home, but, like, you know, as it were, you know, street screening, as people usually do, let's say, with the World Cup, when there is a screening of a big match or of a big event such as that. And but they were projecting on the screen things, news, really. It was mostly news. It was mostly entertainment and certain things. And these people, a lot of the people were actually watching were Christians in there. And now a few others were outside, battling to keep a certain kind of normality of life and fighting here and there. And in the dream, she got the sense that it was really, really towards the end of the age, and the rapture was supposed to happen anytime soon. But then so many people seemed so ill-prepared to it, and because the people she was seeing, I think, were believers, a lot of them, not entirely, but they were mixed with those who weren't. And they were all watching the same things, and they were tuned in there. And then she was thinking that, and then you know, completely defeated. There was this picture of defeat. You've been subdued, made to sit down, and feeding off one source of what the rulers of this world would want for you to feed off. So she's wondering, why are these people like this? Why are they? Why do they seem to be so beaten down and lost their fight and so on? Of course, there are a few people still fighting. Then, in the dream, she asks and says, but Lord, at the rapture, the church is supposed to be on top. It says, we are supposed to be on top at the time of the rapture. Because apparently, in the dream, we were not. But then, this is somebody who had heard, and who knows what Bible prophecy says, and was saying that, but Lord, we are supposed to be on top. And then the voice came from the Lord saying, then why are you not? And that was it. That really was the end of it. That's where a whole lot of the dream is. You are supposed to be on top. Why are you not on top? Now you see, and this is something we've been talking about, of a mentality that people have that God is going to be in charge of certain things, whether they do something about them or not. That somehow they are supposed to sit back and things will work themselves out one way or the other. You know, somehow God is good, what, things are going to work themselves out. That is not how it works at all. And that is not how God is dealing with our times. Because remember, there was a period for that. When you look at the parallels in the Bible, you know that there was a time when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt and they are leaving a house of slavery, and God did not expect too much from them. So all he did everything on his own, just him and Moses and Aaron, who was Moses' spokesperson. The children of Israel just sat back and were beneficiaries of tremendous miracles that God did to subdue the kingdom of Pharaoh and bring them out with a mighty hand of deliverance. And they enjoyed it, and they were just observers of it. They did not have anything to do. As a matter of fact, the first thing they were asked to do was on the night of the death of the firstborn, when they were asked to kill a lamb and put the blood on the lintels of their houses and on the doorposts of their houses, of course, as a symbol of the first Passover. That was the Passover night when you know, the angel of death passed over the houses of Israel, and which of course is a symbol, of course, you know, of, you know, the ultimate Passover, which was at Calvary, when, you know, Jesus shed his blood. So now that was it. Then go and ask those people for, you know, for their gold and for all their beautiful clothing and so on, and their jewelry. And then the children of Israel go and do that, and they get all those wonderful things without any input of their own. They are just doing, you know, yeah, beneficiaries of God's deliverance. And then they kind of get used to that. So they cross and go, and now they enter the wilderness, and now it is time for them to go into the promised land. And they kind of expect that God is going to deal with them the same way. But God has totally different ideas. He says, now you are going into the promised land, and this is what I promised you and your forefathers, but this time you have to fight for it. I am not going to go and destroy those people before you the way I did the Egyptians. Now you have to pull out your swords and fight. Now that's where that whole generation lost out, because they were expecting God to do things the way he did them in Egypt, and God was not willing to go that way. So he told them, go and spy out. You know the story. Go and spy out the land. Go and do what? Then they think, because they have been complaining throughout and getting whatever it is they complain about, they kind of get used to being children and never growing up in the spirit. So they think that if they complain and say, no, now why did God bring us here? God will say, okay, I'm sorry. Now, okay, it's okay. Let me send the angel of death. Let him go and kill all the Amalekites and the whatever, you know, Perizzites and what, in the land that I'm giving you, so that you just walk in like triumphant conquerors and get rid of the corpses and occupy the land. The kind of thing God is going to react like that, but that's not how he did, because now he judges that they should be ready. They should have seen enough of his salvation to be in position to understand that they can trust him even if they go to fight. But they were not willing to. And you know how they died in the desert. Now, there is a certain caliber of believers who still have that, the Egypt mentality of thinking that somehow everything is going to be okay. You know, we are going to go back to normal. They are going to, you know, do this. Yeah, they will open the churches. We'll go back to worshiping. And yeah, I mean, everything is going to be normal, absolutely normal. We do not expect any reason for there to be a change, because after all, even the Bible said this, there are so many things that the Bible said that are dependent on what we do about them. And if you do nothing about them, then they are not going to be true for you. Yet they are truth, but they are truth to whomsoever gets them and believes them and acts on them. Then they become truth for that person, not for people who just sit back and believe that it is, you know, it's going to work itself out somehow, because they have chosen to be babies all their Christian life. Now, here is what happens thereafter. So from that dream, it was so clear that God expects us to be doing certain things, and we have the Spirit of God in us, and we have the backing of God in us. But if we stay with that mentality, then the children of evil who have far inferior force behind them would dominate when they are actually supposed to be being dominated. Where the children of God should dominate, the children of evil will dominate, because the children of God have chosen to do nothing about it. And we've seen that in the scripture throughout, when Israel, in spite of their God, who was known to have brought down empires, were subjugated by kingdoms, because Israel were not willing to do what they were supposed to do. Now, of course, when they did what they were supposed to do, then it happened. Now, the period we are living right now is a period for people who are going to stand up and do something. Unfortunately, I do not see too much of that as it is, which is why even this is kind of something that I've been talking about previously before, and I just feel the need to emphasize. I'm not seeing too much of that right now. So I'm thinking that, so where do we go from here? Now, God is expecting us. So why are you not dominating? God, we are supposed to be, the church is supposed to be on top, in a place of dominion at the end of the age. Then he asks, then why are you not? Okay? Now, you see, in Israel, there was a time period when they were expecting a Messiah to come And they were expecting that he was going to deliver them from the armies of Rome, I mean from subjugation by Rome. Okay? And now they expected him to come in a certain way. They had a caricature of how they expected the Messiah to come. Now, then Jesus comes, and it is so difficult for them to believe that he is the Messiah because he does not come in the way that they expect him. So he just comes and does his thing, and they do not know that God is manifest in their presence. They come up with their usual fights and their, you know, arguments and their doctrinal arguments and so on. And then at the time of his death, when he is living and he's when he's about to die, and he's on the Mount of Olives overlooking the city of Jerusalem, where he is going to enter the final time in his life and then be crucified in that city, then he stands on the mountain and looks down at the city and says, how I wished that, you know, I could have gathered you together as a hen gathers its chicks, but you would not let me. Okay, you would not let me. Now, that's the thing which people do not understand, where God says, now you probably, some people will wait until eternity, when the Lord says, you could have, I wanted to do this for you, but you would not let me. So he says that, now you have missed the time of your visitation. Okay, now there is a group of people who are convinced that the problem is this man from Nazareth who has come and is drawing people away from the synagogues and so on, through his miracles and so on. But God has given them the answer that they have been praying and longing for. Only they have not recognized it. And now, as far as heaven is concerned, you have missed your visitation. End of story, your visitation is missed. Now you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, you have not seen the moment. Your answer has passed you by, and you have not seen it. Now, that is true for so many people, this generation of people. And remember what Jesus said, that, you know, what shall I say about this generation? I played the, you know, the harp, and you did not dance along. Then he said, I played mournful songs, and you did not weep. So he said that, what shall we say about this generation? A generation which cannot be stirred up. They cannot be stirred up for good. Somebody is singing nice songs of, you know, beautiful songs, and you cannot stand up to dance. Then someone else comes trying to project a different emotion, play songs of, you know, of sorrow, maybe because the event calls for sorrow, and still you are disinterested. So you are impossible to stir up. If at least you could be stirred up for sorrow only, or for joy only, but you cannot be stirred up for either way. So he says, what shall we say about this generation? Then he says, nonetheless, wisdom is known by its children. Okay, so there are certain children whom he says, those are children of wisdom. Now, you realize that that time comes, a very important period, but the people who lived in it missed it. And God says, you missed your visitation. And you were visited, but you missed it. And because you missed it, now the troubles come. Then he said, Jerusalem, you know, you'll be surrounded, and every stone will be, you know, not one stone will be left on the other, and so on. And all those things happen. Why? Because you missed your visitation. And now that missing of visitation sets in motion a certain trail of history, where history completely changes because a certain people refuse to acknowledge their visitation. Now, if they had acknowledged the Messiah among them and the time of their visitation, everything could have been different in history. Their conquest by the Roman Empire, their subsequent suffering all those years, and all those things could have been different if they had not missed their visitation when heaven touched base with earth. Now, in the form of the person of Jesus Christ. Now, so those moments happen in history. Now, we are living at the end of the age, a time period as important as the time of the coming of Jesus Christ. Because now we are living in the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ and the wrapping up of this age, the wrapping up of this age and, you know, the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. That is the time that we are living in. So just as important, very important, the ending, you know, the prophecy, end of prophecy and so on, coming when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and establishes his kingdom here on earth, the times in which we are living. And we are going to see those things happening in this time period in which we are living. However, now, are we also going to miss our visitation, as that lady's dream appeared to suggest, where the Lord is saying, where you tell the Lord, but God, according, we are supposed to be in dominion. Then he says, then why are you not? In other words, it is up to you. It is not up to him. Everything that you needed to be in dominion is in your hands, is in your grasp. But somehow you've chosen to be babies. Just like Israel, in Numbers 13, when everything to enter the promised land, as far as God was concerned, was in their grasp. But they chose to be babies and ended up dying in the wilderness. Now, so when you look at the way things have been laid out, you have to understand that a time period comes when people have to mature and say, what are we going to do about this? Now, we do not have the choice of sitting back and hoping that things play out in a certain way. We do not have that choice, because the players are us. We are the team that the Lord is going to use to score all these victories. So we cannot sit back. We have to put on our armor. We have to put on our fighting gear and go out there and do something. Because dominion is not established purely in your prayer closet. Okay? That's a very important part of it. But that's not all. You really cannot do it just there. You have, after that, you have to stand up and go and do something. Okay? Because after, you know, people are finished praying, they get their swords and in the scripture, and they would go and fight. They are not going to pray and people just collapse and drop dead. Of course, that happened every once in a while when people were overwhelmed, when the armies of Israel were overwhelmed and God did something. And he would do that as long as there are people who are willing to do something, to move in a certain direction. Then he moves in that direction. And there are so many examples of that in the scripture where you remember Saul, when he's standing there overwhelmed by the greatness of the army of the Philistines all over. There are so many, and even his own army are trembling and hiding themselves in you know, creeks and in rocks, and, you know, behind rocks and things like that, caves. And he's overwhelmed until his son Jonathan tells his, you know, armor bearer, let's go and attack them. You never know, God might rescue by a few or by many. Now, they went and killed just 10 people, if I remember well. They went and killed just 10 people, and the Lord did the rest. But if they had not stood up to go, there would not be a victory on that day. But there was a great victory because somebody stood up and did something. Now, this is what we are talking about here today. So, we are supposed to be in dominion. Why are you not? That's the question we're asking. Now, the presumption among so many people is that there is going to be where life is going to get back to normal from the way it was in February. I mean, this whole thing is going to pass away. The whole, you know, coronavirus, whatever, talk and so on is going to, it's just going to dissipate like an early morning mist, and life will get back to normal. And yeah, we'll go back to being what it is. And, you know, we'll go back to having our businesses and what, and life goes back to normal and so on and so forth. That's the presumption for so many people. It's a very convenient presumption, but it's also a very cowardly and actually a stupid presumption, because the people who are in charge are not planning for that. Now we know that for a fact. That's not what they have in mind. No, they don't. Because I'll give you an example. I mean, and of course, when the whole coronavirus thing came, first of all, I knew it was not going to come to Africa. I knew it was not going to be a problem here. And without the money from World Health Organization and all those European bodies, there would not be a problem of coronavirus in Africa. The problem has been made by the money. So we have to actually create the problem for there to be a solution in the form of money. And everybody knows that. Okay? Because, okay, even if we were to believe in Uganda's case, the statistics of people who have so far died in 7 months of COVID, most of which deaths have been very heavily contested, I would say I do not believe if it is down to me. I do not believe any one of those people died of COVID, because all of them, their relatives have been up in arms saying they did not die of COVID. So I do not believe that, and nobody can force me to believe it. You understand? So I don't believe it. If you believe it, that's your problem, not mine. But my point is, even if it was argument's sake, even if it was true, now how can we do the things we have done in the name of fighting a disease which has killed 25 people in 7 months, when we have the same number of people dying every day from childbirth, women dying in childbirth? Now, if you add the children who have died within the first few weeks of their birth and so on, that number goes very high. Those are all preventable deaths. But everybody is so obsessed with COVID because there is money, there is donor money attached to it. You know, and Ugandans jump on things where there is donor money. And it's all about money. That's what it is. And everybody knows it. Even those who are pretending they don't know it, they know it. Okay? I knew it. I told you before in one of the previous programs, I knew it was not going to be an issue here, because before that, there was SARS, big problem all over the world. People are dying of SARS. You know, South Asia respiratory, whatever syndrome, and nothing in Africa. Then afterwards, there was swine flu or H1N1, as many as 500,000 people, 575,000 people to be precise, died of H1N1. And now those were actual deaths of people, but it did not come into the tropics. Now, I studied the whole thing of those respiratory sicknesses, and I knew that somehow it is very, somehow the sun has an effect on it. That's why even there, the winter causes an increase in it when there is cold and so on. It's a cold, I mean, there's an advanced level, of course. So I somehow knew it was not going to be an issue here right from the beginning, when China were closing down and so on and so forth. Of course, people have given me arguments, how come it's been a problem in Brazil and so on. I knew it was not going to be a serious problem here in Africa. And I know that almost all the statistics of the people who have been said to have died of coronavirus are fake statistics, donor-driven statistics. Now, how do I even know that for sure? Number one, the Center for Disease Control in America, the number one body, I mean the number one authority, so to speak, in managing pandemics, revised the number of coronavirus deaths in the USA. Now, the official number of coronavirus deaths, according to the knowledge which they are giving all the world, the official number of coronavirus deaths is in America is 153,000 and something thereabout at the last time I checked. But now those people went and actually revised the number of deaths, I mean real COVID deaths, and said that actually 9,000 and about 600, less than 10,000 people, are those who actually died of COVID. The rest of the people had 2, 3, 4 other conditions which were the cause of death. And COVID was just something maybe that they had in there, you know. You understand? So let's say somebody has, is in the advanced stages of HIV. I'm giving an example. Then they get a flu and die, a common flu and die. You know that the flu is actually not the cause of death. You know the cause of death is what it is. So they said the people who actually died of coronavirus, on their own website, cdc.gov, GOV for government, like now 9,700 or something like that, definitely less than 10,000. But the reported figure out there is 153,000. Why? Because they have to create all that Mamboja, that whole fear thing, fear factor, with the help of the media. Even in Uganda, where now all media people are tweeting how they are put on the mask, you know, spread the message, not the virus, put on a mask. Now, let me tell you what else about masks. The Center for Disease Control, the number one, I will repeat it, authority on managing pandemics in America, said that there is zero evidence that the mask has any impact in preventing the spread of COVID. They actually said that they should ignore, they recommended that those people who are fighting COVID should ignore the whole thing about masks. So, but that is their official information which they have there, which of course none of our Ugandan journalists is going to even try to go there, because why? There is no money. The money is in telling people to put on masks. Now, but the official information out there, mask, wear your mask, put on your mask. as if that is going to stop anybody from getting COVID. Actually, according to CDC, it is not. Not according to me, according to CDC, Center for Disease Control. Now, so where is, there is one piece of information given to the world to foment a whole lot of hullabaloo over nothing. Okay, not nothing, over something which is nowhere as deadly as it has been made out to be. Sorry, it's not nothing, but then also not what it has been made out to be. Then there is the real information, which they keep hidden somewhere. Only a few people will go and dig it up from there, and maybe even publicize it and so on and so forth. So now, the whole thing is all based on that. So some people presume we are going to go back to normal. Yeah, so somehow these people are going to concede that, okay, you know, maybe the lockdown was a terrible idea. And actually now seeing a research that has come out showing how deadly the lockdowns have been for people's immunity. And then, of course, they went even into finance, economic matters and so on, finance, killing small businesses and so on and so forth. But first of all, killing people's immunities, keeping them in the house, when actually being outside of the house is where, and being in movement and so on is where immunity is built, being among people and so on. So why is all this deliberate misinformation being given? And then why do people believe that we are going to ever at one stage go back to normal, and then somehow things will be normal again? It is not going to happen, not if these people have their way. Now, I can tell you that for sure. First of all, remember, let me jog you through what all this thing has been about. We start by hearing, no, we have to lock down until we flatten the curve. You remember that statement? Flatten the curve. Picked up from everywhere. Every world leader was repeating that statement. Flatten the curve. Everyone, it's like they were reading off the same script, because they actually were. Even the Ugandan president was, we have to flatten the curve. I don't know which curve he was talking about. Now, guess what? The curve flattened long time ago in May. Yeah, but lockdowns are still instituted. In some places, complete. In other places, partial. But they're still there. Now, they revised their thing. They said, no. We are not going to, life will not get back to normal just because we flattened the curve, or just because the number of COVID deaths have reduced drastically by 90-something% all over the world. Something close to 92% number of deaths decreased from about the same time 3 months ago. But that's not good enough for people to go back to normal. Those who want life to go back to normal, and you enjoy your life the way you used to go and, you know, play some football here and do so on and so forth, without having security guards checking. Now, there are places here in Uganda. Now, this is the stupidity of people. Yeah? There's a supermarket here where they're even now checking checking oxygen levels before you go and buy a loaf of bread and blue band. And I mean, how stupid can people be? Why don't they just institute HIV tests and cancer tests and what before you go into a supermarket? Like, you know, there is nothing as deadly as when people start policing themselves without any form of information whatsoever. So imagine you go to a supermarket. It's bad enough that they are checking your temperature, because temperatures can rise for any number of reasons. You can have a malaria or what, but suddenly now the only thing that causes temperatures to rise is COVID. Now somehow we are used to it. Then also all the guns they are using are fake, because you enter a mall, at the entrance your temperature is 35. Then you enter one store, it is now 37. Then you enter another store, it is now 31. Then, I mean, it's fake. In the space of like 20 minutes, your temperature has moved 10 degrees. But somehow you have to go ahead with it. What did security guards, what now, instead of checking cars for? I guess people will come back to their senses. Previously people were checking for, you know, firearms, bombs, what? But nobody is interested in that now. Suddenly the biggest firearm is temperature. I mean, how did we descend to such levels of stupidity? So now nobody cares about bombs, about firearms, about what. You go to a hotel, everybody is just interested in your temperature. If your temperature is high, man, you might as well have a suicide jacket strapped around your your tummy, just with your hand on a finger, your finger rather, on a button somewhere where you're ready to press. If your temperature is anything above 37, I don't even know if those security guards who do it actually know what the normal temperature is supposed to be. Oh, okay, maybe the guns actually are supposed to alarm if the temperature goes up. I don't know what they would do. They pull out their guns. Okay, stupid. That's what I'm trying to say, stupid. We are even now checking oxygen levels. So I want to buy a loaf of bread. Yeah, we have to first know your oxygen level. Oh dear. Anyhow, so let's move on. So flatten the curve. Yeah, life will get back to normal when we flatten the curve. It will get back to normal when we flatten the curve. Guess what? The curve flattened long time ago and started falling. It has fallen so fast. 90-something% the reduction in the number of deaths between then and. Between about that time when we're being told about flattening the curve. But then, of course, the song changed somewhere along the way. It's no longer flattening the curve. Then now they come and say, no. Sorry, life will only ever return to normal when the vaccine is complete. When we have the vaccine. Now, some countries are saying when the vaccine comes out, it will be mandatory. You will not have any right to refuse the vaccine. Now, here is the thing. There are vaccines for deadly sicknesses like meningitis and so many others, which are optional. But the one for COVID, which kills only 0.3% of the people it catches worldwide, is the one which is mandatory. Of course, it is not about COVID. Now, wait for the vaccine. Vaccine. When will our lives get back to normal? When shall we be free to go back to school, to go back to work without any what? When shall we be able to hang out and, outside at night without any curfews? And when shall we have all these barriers on the roads and policemen and what? Making, our countries look like tyrannical states, pulled off the roads and so on. When? Vaccine. Initially, it was flatten the curve, now it's vaccine. Now, those goalposts are on wheels, that's what they do. Their goalposts are on wheels. They change in a minute. You think you're about to score in the goal, then the goalpost has been dragged down because it's on wheels and somehow, you shoot where the goalpost was and it's not there any longer. So, now, we are waiting for the vaccine. But now, even before the vaccine comes out, because now people are saying we're about to get the vaccine and what. Now some people are actually are commissioning a different vaccine, which is different from the ones that the Bill Gates and the World Health Organization want to produce, which of course has a lot of things attached to it, eugenics and so on. Now people are saying, okay, if you want a vaccine, we'll come up with the real vaccine, which is just a vaccine for that sort of thing, not the one that you people are pushing. Then now, guess what? Dr. Tedros, the head of World Health Organization, comes up and says that, no, don't be mistaken. Life will never get back to normal again. Excuse me, I thought we were flattening the curve. No, it was vaccine. No, it's no longer even vaccine. Now it will never get back to normal again. He said that actually, Dr. Tedros, that Ethiopian man who is called doctor but is actually not a doctor. Life is not going to get back to normal. He said the coronavirus, and now this is a quote, the coronavirus has presented us with an opportunity to finally fight climate change. So now it has moved from a temporary virus. And now it is now to something which, of course, is permanent because climate change, who is going to say climate is going to stop changing? So it says now suddenly it has moved from vaccine to climate change. And he says, so do not expect life to get back to normal. We have to change so many things. And now they have called it the Great Reset. They are going to reset everything and fighting climate change. How do they fight climate change? Doing a number of things. Why? Because there are people. The people who are on the cabinet of the God of this world, whom I've told you before, who have, through this virus, have gotten extreme power and control, which is their ultimate goal. That's what they want. They want power and control. There are a number of ways they get it. The first one is through debt. I've spoken that before. When they make people go deep into debt, they get they have control over those nations and by extension over those peoples. So now you see, COVID, they just say, we have opened up facilities, loan facilities for nations, and people like Museveni and his thieves running, and they jump at that opportunity and they continue getting us deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. And of course, the people who are giving you that money know exactly what they are doing, because you will not be able to have any form of control over what you do as long as you are that heavily indebted. So they bring you in, they are reading you in, they are getting control over you. And then also remember, as I said someplace, that the biggest industry in the world is the loan, is the debt industry. Because if you look at the amount of money, for instance, that Uganda pays in servicing its loans, we pay about 12 billion, to be precise, 12.1, sorry, trillion. We pay 12.1 trillion Uganda shillings servicing our annual interest on loans, interest. So imagine that, 12.1 trillion Uganda shillings. That's about, I would say, rough estimate, $3.5 million. And yet we are by no stretch the most indebted country. It looks like the more the richer the countries, the more indebted they are. So now, you give countries loans, then they start paying you back money, and they are not even servicing much of the, you know, they are not paying the principal, they are just paying the interest. And then you continue giving them more, and then they continue paying interest on those loans. Now, that means you who gave the loan, you get your money back in a short time, because our loans are about 47 trillion. I think the entirety of, the last time I checked, 47 trillion Uganda shillings, the entirety of our loans. Now we are paying interest of 12 trillion. That means in 4 years, if that money, if they took away the interest and that money were paying back the, you know, the principal, would probably have finished it, because 4 years, it would be 48. So maybe we'd have finished it. That's presuming you don't take any other debt. But nobody wants you to pay the principal. They don't want that. They don't want your money back. They want a bit of that, but they want the control. So what? That's one of the ways. So COVID gave them an excuse to actually expand their debt portfolio for all countries. All countries led by, leaders as bad as ours here. So other countries refused. Other countries refused. Tanzania refused those loans. They said, no, instead of giving us loans, you give us some loan readjustment and so on. So they merged things in a way that somehow they reduced their indebtedness throughout this period of COVID, while us, we are going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. So that's one of the things they put out there. Now, the other thing they used to control is climate change. Because now they can tell you, this causes climate change, this causes climate change. These are the climate change regulations which are coming up, and they are going to be very stringent and very strict on all number of carbon dioxide emissions and so on. And it is going to be very, very severe. So how you do your oil, that practice called fracking of oil, that is getting oil from, you know, from underwater, something which was banned. For instance, in America by the Obama administration, which was reproduced, which was allowed eventually by the Trump administration, and so on and so forth. So they actually put a hamper on your economic activity in the name of climate change, just like they have put a hamper on our economic activity in the name of COVID. So they lock you down, you can't open this, you can't open that. Imagine I want to go and play a game of tennis, but I cannot play when I am playing with somebody who is at least 3, 4, 5, 6 meters away from where I am, but somehow I can't play tennis because of COVID. I mean, what kind of stupidity is that? How can you close down sports facilities when everybody knows that's where people... How can you close down gyms and health clubs when everybody knows that's where immunity is built? So is it about COVID? Now, the trouble with Ugandan elite is they just follow everything like they are the biggest lambs. They are. You'll find a lot more reasoning downtown, you know, in Chikubo than you'll find in some of these elite circles. And by the way, that is so disappointing. It is so disappointing to have an elite class who have no sense of independent thinking. And I've seen that everywhere you go. The people who are supposed to be, you know, the downside, you know, those people down there who are supposed to be as if uneducated, unwashed, and so on, are the ones actually who have a better grasp of how our country runs than the so-called elite. Now, that is really unfortunate, and that's the truth. So you close down all those things, you have control over people, and it extends way beyond that, because now imagine they have started attacking, flying. Now, one of the biggest emitters of that, you know, those fumes which apparently destroy and cause climate change are aeroplanes. So now people will be reduced to essential travel. You don't just travel anyhow. You have to tell us, why do you want to travel? Now, the things which you see, the restrictions which you see right now, are going to be permanent until they will make everybody's life hard, very difficult, and you long for a return to the normal life. You long for a return to the normal life. This is exactly what is going to happen, and this is what they are planning. So you want to travel, I want to travel and go here, I want to go for holidays here. It has to be essential travel. Right now in Uganda, they tell you it has to be either humanitarian reason or national interest. Can you imagine even the red tape that people like Cheptegei had to go through, the new 5,000 meter record holder, the athlete, had to go through, and his friend, you know, Halima Nakai and so on, just to be able to get on a plane to go to Monaco. And they have to prove this, prove that. And because of these stupid regulations which are put here, for reasons also, that man could have missed out on his opportunity to go and break a world record. Yet he had been practicing for that all throughout the lockdown period. And somehow, because somebody has to keep up an appearance of there's some COVID in Uganda where people are dying of strokes and they are being named as COVID patients and so on, you deny somebody to go and, you know, a historic moment like that. Thankfully, reason prevailed in their case and so on. But still, they have to make a show of, I've come from winning the 5,000 meter, let me go and self-isolate. I might be having COVID. I mean, if COVID is going to make me break a 5,000 meter record, then bring it on. I would have it any day if I'm going to run that fast. How can somebody was be? I mean, anyhow, there's a certain level of stupidity which has gone around with all this COVID thing. And it is sustained among the so-called elite. Elite, you know, and they have just bought into some kind of thing. And I don't even know if they ever sit down and think through it. They don't. Anyhow, so control over churches, so you cannot control over churches, you cannot number of flights and so on. And then they will make sure that there is some sort of, now this is the plan, that's why they keep on shifting the goalposts from flattening the curve to vaccine, then from vaccine to climate change, then from climate change, until eventually they will have everybody begging, can you please let us go back to a normal life? Can we have our lives back? Can we go back to enjoying ourselves? Can we go back to doing this? And now, when they get you begging and desperate, and you are in that place, then now finally, they have you where they want you. Then they can introduce, now this is the whole plan, then they can introduce the mark of the beast. And it has already been set out there. Okay? And guess what? It is part 060606 by Bill Gates. It's there. He actually answers that. And he even said he has a question and answer session there on his social media handle where people ask him questions. And he said without this vaccine and without that tattooed evidence that they put on your hand, you shall not be able to buy or sell. He actually used those words. Then somebody told him, excuse me, but doesn't that sound so much like what the Bible says and what? Then he kind of tried to backtrack, but he had put it out there. Now, this is the plan. Now, then there are some people who have the Spirit of God in them who think that we are just going to bow down to these powers, these demonic forces, and somehow they will give us our life back through their goodwill and good gestures and good graces and say, okay, but I'm sorry, so we are going to give you back your life. It is not going to happen that way. That's what that dream was saying, that why are you not on top? Now, we are going to get our lives back. The devil is going to be hammered and put in his place, but not through us sitting and hoping that it is going to happen. It is going to happen through us standing up and actually getting our hands dirty, doing something. We have to fight for our rights, our right to be ourselves. Because if you give these people, they close this, they close that, they close this, then you beg them to open, then they open them very slowly, very slowly, very slowly. Then they come and say, President has hinted on reopening of churches. President has hinted on reopening of schools. Do you know how much damage has been done by closing schools for that long? Do you know that about 30 countries now in Europe have opened schools starting from, you know, end of May, from about June? About 30 countries have opened schools. Do you know that none of them have reported a spike in COVID cases? And I'm talking about countries where there was actually COVID. But here in Uganda, where we are looking for the COVID cases like we are looking for a needle in a haystack, and we have to forge COVID deaths, and I say that with a straight face, and I dare anybody to come and prove, say that I'm lying, we are actually, children cannot go to school, and we are going to make our students miss out a whole year, because of this stupidity. And people think that we are just going to sit back and we will get back these things. No, no, no. Let's just pray and hope. You know, let's do well. Then they tell you go for, you know, SOPs. Then you go, then you study. Then you become COVID compliant. And then, you know, then somehow you'll be compliant to all sorts of things. I'm telling you. Because it is so easy under the circumstances for if they make you COVID compliant, okay? And yet they themselves are saying that by their own admission, how much they falsified the number of COVID deaths by over 90%, where they say, I'm talking about in America, 153,000 people died of COVID. That's what the information they are giving. Yet the CDC on their own website say 9,600 or something there, about 9,800, between there, definitely less than 10,000 have died of COVID. Then how much more lies are being told out there? And how much do people want to believe lies? And how are you going to be continue to be compliant? Are you good? And I'm now talking to believers. I'm not talking to the world out there. There is a world there which wants to be compliant to all these things. It suits them perfectly because they actually will walk straight into the mark of the beast because they want it. They have chosen it. That's the life they have chosen. So they will walk into the mark of the beast. But now the question is, how can you, believers are actually failing to understand that these people are not being clear. And this is simple research that shows you that the goalposts are changing every time. Now we started with COVID, now we are in climate change. Because they try to make climate change such a big deal. You know, the earth is going to end in 12 years, nobody was buying it. So the earth is going to do that, nobody was buying it. They took it to universities, climate change. But even the university students were saying, but you people, even the scientists do not agree on the grim picture that is being projected in all these climate change scenarios. So they realized maybe climate change was not going to be the thing that was going to cause the mass fear that they need to turn people into lambs and bring them in some kind of stable and control them from there. So now, COVID comes. And now they jump at COVID. Now we've moved from COVID, since of course they can't push it for good. Now we went into a climate change. And then eventually the goalposts will continue shifting until eventually, now, if you want your life back, you have to take the mark of the beast. Okay, I remember February 2020, you know, we used to fly. When you have, you know, money for a ticket, you can fly. You'd go and work. Our children were going to school. Everything was okay. Life was good. You know, we could stay out late in the night if we wanted to, and so on and so forth. Oh, I remember February 2020, before this thing came. Then they keep on saying, no, 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 your life will get back to normal. When? When we do this. Go and do this, and then your life will get back to normal. Then you come and report, yes, sorry, we did it. So now can we have our lives back? No, you can't. Sorry, now do something else. Yeah, we also did that. Can we have our lives back? No, you can't. Now also this, can we have our lives back? No, you can't. So when will you have our lives back? Okay, just one more thing. Then you go and do it. So we did that, sir. Now can we have our lives back? No, 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 no. Just one more thing.
then you go and do that. Now, can we have our lives back? Can we go back to February 2020? No, sorry, you cannot. Then what are we supposed to do? First, wait, we'll tell you. Okay, tell us whatever. We are ready to do whatever it takes. No. Okay, tell us. We'll do whatever it takes. Are you sure you'll do whatever it takes? Yes. Tell us whatever it takes. We shall do it so that we can have our lives back. Okay. Now, have the mark of the beast on your right hand or on your forehead. And then your lives will get back to normal. And by the way, they will not just get back to normal. You'll have immunity from sicknesses. You'll not be able to die except through very impact things like, let's say, a plane crash or something like that. But your body will be turned around and your DNA changed, and you'll not be able to, you know, die of these sicknesses that kill other people. Now, you see, finally, we've overcome sickness. But to be able to do this, to have come to this place, we need to put a chip in your right hand or in your forehead. Now, that chip will be the means through which this enhanced DNA comes, and the merging of, of human beings with technology comes. Now, this might be a problem for some of us, okay? But I want you to understand that all these things, do you know that almost all the cartoons that are being shown now, which so many of you people, your children are watching, and now which they are forcefully watching because they are not going to school, and now this is some of the purpose of this. So you, children are home, they are not going to school, you have to leave, you have to go to work. Previously, you take them to school and at least you know they are learning something. Now they're on cartoons, watching cartoons, and the cartoons are telling people how they are going to merge human beings with machine to make human beings a lot more vibrant, quicker, what, everything. And now they are being indoctrinated from childhood. Now you get to the time of the mark of the beast when they are now telling them that this microchip, which is going into your right hand or your forehead, is going to be your connection to this, apparently amazing life out there, which, you can't fall sick, you can't just die anyhow, except through extremely impact scenarios, like I told you, like a plane crash, you've overcome sickness and so on, because, you've been turned, but your DNA has been turned around completely. Now you've been turned from a human being into something else. So then you realize that the children, because they have been watching it in cartoons, it doesn't sound so terrible. Their minds have been introduced to it, to that concept, through in a subtle programming, subtle indoctrination. So they are more welcome to it. But then you, the parent, because of course you did not grow up in that period, so you kind of have your mind on you. And you're saying, so you mean you... Then the child tells you, no. I can do this. It's okay. It's my right. And so on. You know, that's what happened with this sex change and so on, gender engineering, where a parent says, no. My child cannot go and change genders. But then the government says, no, your child has the right to change genders. Now, here's the thing. Before a child is 12, they cannot do anything else. Before they are 18, they cannot do anything else on their own without consent of adults, except changing their gender, something which is a permanent change and which is going to cause huge problems for them in future. It always does that. There is nobody who does it and does not somehow regret it. But imagine your 8-year-old, because they have been doing what? Watching it on TV, and TV has been glamorizing it and making it cool, and now they are not going to school, so they are watching. And a lot of problems that we are going to have ahead there, unless we believers start actually lifting our hands and doing something about all this. Because the approach that I see among so many believers of just hoping things are going to happen is so wrong. Sometimes I wonder how we got to this place where we think things are just going to happen. They are not. We have to stand up. Remember that dream? The church is supposed to be in dominion. Then why are you not? Now, I do not want to have to answer that question. The church is supposed to be in dominion, and I am determined I will do what my bit is, what the Lord wants me to do for us to be in dominion. I will do whatever it is the Lord wants me to do for us to be in dominion, because that is His will, and He has empowered me. The Spirit of God is upon me and is with me, and the power of the Almighty backs me up, and I stand as a representative of the kingdom where God, Jehovah, is king. So I know that I have a superior force. No, I will stand up to do what God has called me to do in order to make sure that we actually are in dominion and we are not just supposed to be. We actually are in dominion at the time of the coming of the Lord. Now that is His will and has been given to us through scripture, through prophetic word and so on. So the thing is, so by the time they bring on that technology change, where they are transforming people's DNAs, you find that because your kid has been unsupervised watching cartoons, they are okay with it. Perfectly okay with it. And now for you, you know, this is actually the mark of the beast. I'm hoping you will know by that time. But then everybody is like, you know, this is the last step. Now finally, you've been asking us what it would take for your lives to go back to February 2020. You've been asking us, what would it take for our lives to go back to February 2020? This is the final thing. This is finally it. Take this chip. And guess what? Some people, even some believers, might end up taking it, apparently, so that their lives get back to normal. Now, if you take this chip, you'll be able to do this. Meanwhile, by the way, that chip, they will be able to send signals to your brain, and they totally control what everybody thinks. That is the last. Now, I understood why the scripture says whoever takes the mark of the beast will definitely go to hell. It says that in Revelation 14, verse 9. That they have their part in the lake of fire, those who take the mark of the beast or those who worship the beast. And there is no place thereafter for repentance. The Bible is clear on that. Once you take that mark on your right hand or on your forehead, there is no place for repentance. And there is a reason why. Because all your authority is taken away. You just turn into robots for the Antichrist. And now you're not thinking. You're actually a group think. Thinking on your own is not there. You're thinking as a group. There is no more thinking on your own. There is no more independence. Now, that's the last thing that the devil wants to take away from man. Because remember, all those are the things which God gave to man. He created man in His image and in His likeness, back to Genesis chapter 1. And then the first thing He gave man is the right to choose. Then He tells him, you can eat of all the other fruits, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. So I've given you a choice. Choose whether you're going this way or the other way. Now, God could have, you know, done things differently. Put an enclosure around the knowledge of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But no, He left it there open and free and told them, just don't eat it. So you have a choice. Now, that's the last thing that the devil will take away through the mark of the beast. He will take away your choice, your power to choose. Then afterwards, it will be impossible for you to choose because now you're programmed. Something about you is taken away. And then we go back to as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And it says the imagination of men was evil continually. Now, for that to happen, something has got to have changed. And something about the DNA of a person. And they take away the godly DNA because it's impossible for a human being who is created in the image of God, regardless of how evil they are, for them to have their imagination evil continually all the time. It's impossible. Even the worst people at some stage think something good, something of love, something kind, regardless of how bad they are. So for that to happen, you have to have been given a DNA of the devil. And that happens with the mark of the beast. But remember, those are not stories now, as they used to tell people stories long time ago. You know, this might happen, there's going to be a mark of the beast and what. Now, this is reality. You see the way these people are shifting goalposts. We are flattening the curve, then your life will go back to normal. Curve flattened long time ago and fell very fast. No. Vaccine. Then wait 2 years. I've been hearing Bill Gates saying, 18 months for a vaccine, 18 months for a vaccine. Now, 18 months where they are controlling you, you're tired, you're disgusted, you're broke, businesses have collapsed, everybody is depending on government, getting orders and handouts from government, which is what they want. Then they tell you, no, when you get the vaccine, then you can be free to go and start your businesses. Sorry, it will not happen. That's not what they want. And they will keep on shifting. But thank God we have the Spirit of God and we are going to stand up and fight. And the Spirit of God is upon us. Like the children of Israel could have gone into the promised land in Numbers 13. And they would have gone and conquered. Because God knew that. He said that, you know what Caleb said, that their protection has been lifted. And from them, the people in the promised land. So even these people, as long as we stand up and fight, they are powerless against us. Their power exists in us doing nothing. So that's exactly what we are not going to do. We are not going to do nothing. So thank you so much for listening to The Watchman. But I just want to caution you one thing here. One of the things you have to do in doing all of this, because we are still going around doing ministry. Some of you might not think, we might think we are not. We actually are going around doing ministry. So I want you to be a partaker of what is happening here by your contribution. And to do that, either go to ugwatchman.com and you'll see is a ways there for you to give, even through mobile money, or you can use the following numbers: 0755-292-555, 0755-292-555, or 0780-292-555, 0780-292-555. Be sure to give you, sow your seed there and facilitate what we are doing for the kingdom of God, and then also stand up and move with us. Determine to do something. Don't just sit back and hope and pray. Get up and do something. God bless you. Have yourselves a wonderful evening. We will go
for you. That was The Watchman. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.